Matthew chapter 6, as we continue our study this evening. Matthew chapter 6, Lord, teach us to pray. Part 3, I guess. Next Sunday morning will be part 4. We'll see if we have to have a part 5, okay? Let's stand as we look into the Word of God. And I want us to do as we did this morning. I want us to, let's read this together, okay? In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray your will be done tonight. Father, teach us how to pray, that we may become prayer warriors as never before. That we may have such a oneness, intimacy with you, that we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing and exactly how we're supposed to be doing it. Father, we do pray your will be done in this church. With all the plans of the future, Lord, we pray that your will be done. Not mine, not anyone else's, but Lord, your will be done. And we pray especially, Lord, tonight, that you will open our minds and our hearts to your word, and that you will speak to us through your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we learned about how we have a need to pray. Sometimes we think that, oh, I know how to pray. But we started this morning, if you're like me, this kind of opened my eyes and reminded me of some things I needed to be reminded of. And we started with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That our Father in heaven part being our common ground. That's what makes us family. And our priority as the family of God is what? Hallowed be thy name. It is our goal, or it must be our goal, to honor the name of Jesus, to respect and to reverence the name of Jesus above all names. And now we come to the point this evening. Your will be done. And I'll be honest with you, this is where it gets a little more difficult. It's where it gets hard. Because I don't know how many times I have had a prayer list of my desires and thought, well, God should want to do this. But you know what? Prayer is not about getting our will done in heaven. Prayer is about getting God's will done on earth. That has to be our desire and the point of our prayers. We're very quick to bring our list of our wants to God, but you know, that's not what prayer is about. Praying is about, when we pray, thy will be done. My will goes out the window. Okay? And when we say, Father, thy will be done, I want you to understand that's not just a statement. That is a Father, thy will be done at all cost. And that's the part of our faith that we don't get. That, you know, we have an Americanized gospel that God's supposed to want us to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and all that. And you know, the truth is, Christians have suffered and dealt with persecution and hardship ever since the days of Christ, even before that. We think we're special because we're Americans. No, we're not. We're believers just like they were believers in Jesus' day. And so as we pray, Lord, thy will be done, we pray that with the mentality of, even if it costs me everything, no matter what, Lord, I want your will to be done. I want you to chew on that just a minute. Okay? Because quite often it does cost. But when it costs, we have to understand that God has a plan. He's not just in heaven watching earth spiral out of control and make its own path. He's had a plan from the foundation of the world, and that plan, as we talked about this morning, is to take us to that glorious day when we live literally in God's glorious kingdom. But what we have to understand is that sometimes God's plan is not pleasant. There's a repeated phrase in the book of Revelation. It's repeated three times, I believe. That's how many times I found it in the book. But it's these things which must take place. Okay? Indicating God has a plan and these things have to happen. And so with this in mind, Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 describes our days. Do you believe we're living in the last days? Let's read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says, "But know this, that in the last day, perilous times will come." Are we in the last days? Absolutely. Are we seeing perilous times? Absolutely. We're not exempt from that. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away." When I look at the world today, and I mentioned this morning, I am not a, "Oh, things are terrible and then we die" kind of person. I'm not. Right? But I do look at this world with a realistic view that we are right in the middle of God's plan. And when we see the trouble in Israel, it's part of God's plan. When we see America and the lack of moral fiber that exists in America, it's just proceeding according to God's plan. And so we have to understand as we view our life that when they're suffering, when we're inconvenienced, when we have to pay for some, for our faith, we have to be able to pray, "Lord, your will be done." When perilous times come, "Lord, your will be done." If we're abused, persecuted, even killed, if it caused us everything, can we pray, "Lord, your will be done, no matter what, at all costs"? That's the mentality here. Because it's like I said before. You said, "Brother Doug, why would we pray that?" Because God's plan will take us to that glorious day. And I'm not going to re-preach this morning. But, beloved, it's the future's bright for the child of God. But we're not there yet. But the good news is what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So when your faith costs you something, you look ahead and you realize that this is nothing compared to what eternity is going to be for me. That's the good news. But we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic. Consider Jesus. Do you remember his prayer in the garden? That prayer was, "Lord," or "Father, if it be your will, let this cup," what? "Pass from me." But he didn't stop there. "Nevertheless, not my will, but whose? Thine be done." And when he prayed that prayer, where did he go from there? Life just suddenly got better. No, he went to the cross. And he paid the ultimate price. But that was part of the plan of God for our salvation. You consider the Apostle Paul. Prayed three times, "Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh." And what did God say? God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And you know what Paul said? Paul said, "I will take pleasure in my infirmity, for when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. Father, your will be done. And if this is your will, then glory to God. I'm willing to do it, that your will may be done." You see, we have to have a vision beyond our circumstances. We have to have an understanding that even though it's hard, God can get glory even out of the difficult situations or circumstances. You understand that? Even when it's hard for me, we don't look at the harshness of what we're going through. We look at how can I glorify God in this circumstance. I always go back. I love the story of Paul when he was in prison. He and Silas, you remember, right? They were in prison after having been beaten and thrust into the inner depths of prison. What were they doing? They were singing praises to God at midnight. They had this attitude, Lord, your will be done. If this is the way it's got to be, then glory to God. All glory belongs to you. See, we have to understand what we're praying when we say these words. These are not just empty words that we rattle off. But this is an attitude that we should have about our Father who is in heaven. Lord, your will be done at all cost. Have you noticed one thing, though? Up to this point in this prayer, it's not been about us. It's been all about God. You know, He has to be first and foremost in our prayers. His honor, His glory, His will has to be our desire. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have, right? Ah, but then it turns to us. And I can just see us from here. We're going to pray, Lord, for all this stuff. No. It says, give us this day our daily bread. It's pretty interesting. Again, if you're like me, I've often approached God with this big laundry list or Christmas list of I wants and I wish, you know. But here, this is a very humble prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And note this, note verse 8 of chapter 6 here. It says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Do you understand that before you even open your mouth in prayer or proceed, begin a prayer? God knows my needs. You know what? I don't have to tell Him I'm hurting. I don't have to tell Him I'm hungry. I don't have to tell Him. He already knows. And so it's not so much pointed at me. It's give us this day. The family. Lord, provide us for our needs. Now, since God already knows our needs, what is this pointing to? It's pointing to, first of all, a dependence upon God. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Now, let me ask you this. Do you get up in the morning with the attitude or the knowledge of anything I have, I'm depending upon God to give me? Down to the very food that I eat. You know? And in reality, we are completely dependent upon God for our daily provision. You know? And it's funny when I was sitting, I was thinking about this, and I think about how we try to save for a rainy day. Do you do that? I do. Do you save for retirement? You know, we put back so that one day we can retire. You know what we're looking for? We're looking for security. And we're looking for self-provided security. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with saving money. There's nothing wrong with putting back for retirement. I'm not preaching against that. I am preaching against the fact that I'm depending on myself to provide it. Because, you know, I've seen a lot of men, a lot of people, get to that point of retirement and the stock market crash, and they can't retire. Have you ever seen that? I've seen people lose it all. They're dependent on themselves. Listen, we've got to be ready. That's why Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. real security will not be found. And like I said, I'm not against saving. I'm not against trying to plan for retirement. I think it's wise. However, I am against depending upon myself completely for such things. You see, we're looking to be in that position so that no matter what happens, we'll be taken care of. And there's only one place we can find that. And that's with God Himself. You remember what Jesus said? How that God clothes the lily of the fields? How that He knows when a sparrow falls from the sky? And He said, you're much more important than a sparrow. That's in this chapter, and we'll get to later, right? But what we have to understand as we ask God, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Number one, You know what we need. And number two, Lord, we're completely dependent upon You to provide what we need. Not ourselves. Second thing that we discover when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, is contentment. You see, daily bread here, it not only, you know, we think of bread literally, it's not limited to that. It is daily provision. And if you're like me, I pretty much got the market cornered on stuff. I want stuff. As a matter of fact, the economy is based upon us wanting more stuff. Right? And people have become experts at manipulating you to buy their products. Okay? They have a file on you. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This is fact. They know what you like. They know what you don't like. They know what you want. They know your economic ability. They know how much money you have and what you can afford and what you cannot afford. That's why they always, you know, credit cards all the time, they ask you, please update your income information so our records can be accurate. You know why they do that? So they can, if you've got a little more income, they can increase your credit limit so you can buy more stuff. They know way more about us than we care to even admit or realize. And it's all about them creating an attitude of wanting more. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We just had Thanksgiving. Sometimes I think, I'll just speak to myself. Sometimes I get to looking at things that I want so much that I forget to appreciate what God has provided. And that's this point here. Paul said, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. If that's all you had, could you really be content? Let's say food, clothing, and shelter on a night like tonight. Can you really be content with that? That word content, it means to be satisfied. Can you be satisfied with very little? Do you know how to be satisfied? You have to learn to be satisfied. It is not something that comes natural. It is a learned ability. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. There's that word. I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Then he goes on, I know how to be abased. I know how to need and to be low. I know how to abound. I know how to have more than enough, he says. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That word learn is to learn by experience. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, you understand that God knows what we really and truly need. And as such, He gives us what we really and truly need. Now, knowing that understanding and knowing that God is a loving God, I've got to understand that wherever I am at the present time is probably where I need to be in reference to what I have and what I don't have. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again tonight. You know, I thoroughly believe that some people cannot handle riches. I think I'm where I am because this is what I can handle. God knows my needs. He knows my capabilities. And so, and my encouragement to you tonight is let's just back up and let's take a look at where we are. Okay? Not what you don't have, but what God has provided. Okay? And I'm going to end this service in kind of a little testimony. An opportunity to be thankful. And I'm going to give you a minute to think. Not going to put you on the spot, right? I'm not going to call you by name. I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I don't want a message. I just want to ask you to stand and say, I'm thankful for, and you fill in the blank. Or I'm content and thankful for. Let's add that word content and thankful for. Okay? I want you to think about that. I want to ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed. I want you to realize right now, God has been good to you. You may be in a rough patch. But knowing what we know, God knowing your needs, then you need to be here. And even in this rough patch, the goodness of God is present where you are. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can pray tonight, Lord, your will be done with full assurance that you're going to provide what we need. That as we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, that you're going to provide not partially what we need, but completely what we need. Father, thank you for where I am today. I have so much to be thankful for. And I just confess to you, I'm so thankful to be the pastor of this church. I'm so thankful for my wife and my children and my grandchildren. Lord, I am most of all thankful that I'm a child of the King and that one day I will know the glorious presence of living in your kingdom. Now, Lord, may we all be grateful and content with what you have provided. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.